You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Gunner's not answering. Let's see if we can scare Nielsen up. He's not answering either. That's Bob Nielsen's professional voice, okay. Nine oh six on a Tuesday. Montana man wants to know where the Gunner is. I don't know. I haven't heard from him this morning. So for him, and then Nielsen just tells me I'm in class at Walter Reed. Brutal. So we'll get to them in a few minutes. I haven't heard from Mike. No, you know, but when Mike doesn't show up, he just doesn't show up. It's not like he calls me and says, "Hey, man." Joining me is Montana Man, filling in the gap. Okay, so I want to. You watched episode one and episode two, or just episode one last night?
Just episode one.
Okay.
It was, I couldn't turn it off. I stayed up until it was over.
Yeah, now, it's interesting to hear Tim Lynch's perspective because, I mean, he grew up in a house that fought the Vietnam War, and his dad's not watching it. And he read the book, and, you know, and so he's not finding too much. Well, he finds nuanced stuff that I don't see, which is kind of interesting from his perspective. But so far, you're enjoying it. Enjoying is the wrong word.
Yeah, a lot.
I find it fascinating, especially the Vietnamese perspective, which we have not. I don't know why we simply haven't heard that much of it. You think we would have, but we haven't. It's to me, it's almost the same feeling. In fact, I was thinking about this yesterday, was when we were listening to those interviews of guys on Iwo Jima. And you're like, holy shit, I've never heard this before. And it just seems...
Yeah, way different crazy. Perspective. It was that you don't see. And that's exactly right. I was thinking the same thing about the Iwo Jima interviews.
Interesting.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. No. And it even gets, I don't know. It even gets more unique in the second episode because they have their first major engagement with South Vietnamese forces supported by American, helicopters and armored personnel carriers, and the Viet Cong, they do well. And they said from that point, you know, that became a huge battle in you know, on murals in North Vietnam and you know, there was artwork done in South Vietnam among the Viet Cong about it that showed that even the great United States, who had fought the Japanese in the Pacific, the Germans in Europe, we could take them on and we could defeat them too. And we didn't know if they were different from the French. But from that point on, we were not afraid. Like, whoa. It was like 1962, 1963, and they shot down five helicopters. They blew up a bunch of M113 armored personnel carrier, which was state of the art at the time. And the second episode is pretty interesting as well. How are things in Montana?
So cold and rainy, and I'm putting out game birds right now, but I just stumbled on something dead, so I got to go see what the hell this is. I'm hoping it's just a sheep and not one of my calves.
Are we going to get to hear your reaction live?
Yeah, I'm just about to pull up on it.
Did you see it with your drone?
No, I have a bunch of birds coming up. It's a sheep.
My money
getting ate by the birds, thank God.
We see that in movies. Yeah, there's a bunch of buzzards over there. Let me go check it out. Cowboys.
That's exactly what's happening.
Cowboys do that kind of stuff. Give me your solution to the immigration problem, all right? Three components. Southern border, dreamers, parents of dreamers that brought them here. What do we do?
The border has to be secured, you know.
Okay. Secured.
Whatever it is.
Not essentially a wall from sea to shining sea, yes or no?
No. I mean, that's probably not feasible in that country, and if I spend a bit of time down there, and it's there's places where it will be something like that,
right?
But other places where it's not, whether it's a Vulcan force field or freaking who knows what it takes. I mean, if it's country that people can't really get across, then you may just leave it.
Did you just say a Vulcan force field?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I'm just saying, leave. I don't know what it'll be is the point.
Just so everybody knows, that's just a figure of speech, okay? There is no actual Vulcan force field, okay?
I think there is on Star Trek. I mean, I'm not a Star Trek guy, but, I mean, I can't remember that from growing up at some point.
You're sounding like you are one. That's the first indication that you are one, is the denial. I'm not. You might be, because thou protest too much.
I actually don't know where that came from. I think it was from when I was 8 or 9.
Whatever. Or 28 or 29. What do we do with the dreamers?
Well, I kind of think that, you know, you got to try and send them back. It may not be, you know, hey, let's herd up 11 million people. But you give them a path. The citizenship, which we have now, you know, obviously other people can become U.S. citizens from outside this country, not being born here. Make that path available to them, give them a timeline, and those who don't meet that timeline, you know, they go on the list. If you bump into them, you know, you get them out.
What about that?
It may take 10 years, it may take 20 years, it may take 50 years, but, you know, eventually it's, they're basically, one, they broke the law.
Okay, hold on. Are we talking about the dreamers or the dreamers' parents?
I think you've got to put them in a group together.
Okay, so you have D plus DP, okay? D plus DP. And so what's your solution to this? Hello? Did you just find a sheep? Or?
I really give them a period of time. You know, you give them a visa of some type,
okay,
that says, you know, you've got 6 months or however long it takes. There's a couple bald eagles waiting to get on this sheep. You know, whether it takes 6-8 months to do the whole citizenship road, which includes assimilation. You learn the language, pledge allegiance, go the way it used to be.
Okay.
You know, when you came into New York, that's what you had to do, whether you came from Ireland, whether you came from Italy, wherever you came from, it's the same thing.
Okay,
you've got to be assimilated.
So you've pushed them into one group, You're going to give them a visa under this one special. So we secure the border. Now we deal with the 11 million people. You give them a visa. You say, you give them a timeline and say, you got to walk the straight and narrow because you're on probation and you got to have these things done. And then once you do them, there's going to be a path to some type of legal status. It might not be citizenship. People can fight about that. Yay or nay?
Right.
Are you, is that?
Yes. I like that. And then, I mean, whether it's, you know, there's different statuses of citizens. I mean, a felon doesn't have all the rights as a citizen who's not a felon.
Right.
You know, they can't own a gun. They can't do certain things.
And which are all very effective. Felons not owning guns, that is probably one of the, how would you characterize that? I won't say least enforced, but probably something that never quite really happened. Oh, you're a felon? You can't own a gun. Okay, I won't. Right.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. And we're dealing with that at the ranch in Idaho. Neighbor rancher died. His son, who's been a felon, all of a sudden showed up to live in his house while they figure out what's going on. And there's more shooting coming from that ranch than I've ever heard from any single one.
Really?
And oh, by the way, he's the only one up there.
Well, you know what? That's a good thing because normally felons, it becomes like a felon colony. They associate with other felons. That's who they're comfortable with, kind of like veterans. And then you get a bunch of felon veterans, and then they set up shop, and there you go. There you go. The next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. Old Swordsby, little gunplay up on the Golden Tee Ranch.
Yeah, it almost got there one day. I definitely had the pistol in the shorts and type of deal, so it's not cool. We're kind of waiting to see if his what happens with his DUI, and his sister, who now owns the house, says if he doesn't get probation and is forced to stay in Idaho, she'll kick him out back to California.
Back to where? Oh, no. You keep that hillbilly where he belongs in Idaho.
No.
What?
No, he's a California felon. He's from California straight up. That's where he was a felon from.
Okay, where was he born?
Now we're getting the California charge.
No. He's from Idaho. He committed his heinous act here. Now he can go the fuck home.
No, his dad is from California, sold his auto body businesses, came up and bought a big place up here. Okay. And that son stayed in California, mostly in prison. But now we're getting all the California trash and we're trying to send them back.
This is not making me happy, this conversation right now.
And I may be going home this weekend just to have an in-call with the sheriff and see what he can do. Because, I mean, what's he going to do? You know, hey, we hear gunfire up here. Sheriff comes up. Now we've tipped our hand. The guy's straight up freaking nuts.
Right.
So I don't need him, you know, when I'm not home and Alicia is, you know, being a quarter mile away and knowing that I friggin' tried to get him hauled off.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. That means
kind of quandary.
No, there's no quandary. Alicia going to Montana.
That's where she is most of the time. She's seldom home when I'm not there at the place in Idaho.
My guest is the owner operator of the Cougar Basin Corporation up in that spans two states, Idaho and Montana. Robert Schwarz, known to us as Rob, known to you as Montana Man, and we're solving the immigration issue. You know what? And so it's interesting. You know, we don't all agree on everything, but I think most of us agree on a few things. One, there's not going to be a wall, okay? It's not going to be a wall. It's going to be though secured southern border, okay? Two, we're not deporting 11 million people. Okay. It's so what we have to do is we have to deal with this one time and then we're never dealing with again. And give them some kind of probation. They plead guilty to something. Then they have a probationary period where they can fulfill the requirements. They fulfill them, and they have some kind of legal status. I would think the dreamer, the children's, you could set them on a path towards citizenship. Their parents, I would say that's negotiable. Maybe they don't become full-up citizens. They become something else. They become something. I'm not sure. Whatever it would take to negotiate to get it passed. But they could be in the country legally and stay here.
Yeah, the Dreamer kids, you can look at it and say, okay, they didn't commit a crime. They were brought here by their parents who did commit a crime. So, yeah, they get a pass to citizenship, full up round, but the parents may be something different.
Hold on. Let me read you an email. Am I hearing this right? Aren't you guys conservative, Marine-type guys, hardliners? What in the hell am I hearing about amnesty? Are you kidding me? Yeah. I think what you're hearing guys that are tend to be problem solvers. Rob, how would you characterize us liberals? How would you characterize us?
Well, I think you're right, problem solvers, but also kind of a common sense group of folks. You know, what? How much time you got? What do you have for assets? What are your constraints? What are your restraints? You've got to look at it as a real problem that makes sense. The first thing is we can't continue to allow this to happen. Once we stop the bleeding, then, okay, now we can go into triage and start to work. The problems that we've got before us, I believe. And, you know, it would be very interesting to see along that path, you know, you give them an opportunity to some kind of citizenship, whether they can vote or not, the parents I'm speaking of, how many actually get that done? You know, and then, you know, did none of them get it done and all of them go on the list? And now we've just got this giant list of 11 million parents that we've got to friggin' herd up over time and send back south, or it would be interesting to see how that actually went.
Right.
I would think just spending time in some border towns in Texas, you know, you're going to the HEB and you're the one white guy in there. And almost every single one of those Mexicans in that store are legal citizens. They have family that's in Mexico. They go back over the border every weekend when they're done working, come back to work, but they're American citizens. So just looking at that group of people, I would think if given the opportunity to get a second, call it a second chance, or call it a chance at citizenship, most would put forth the effort to do it.
That would be the hope, and I think you'd have all kinds of civic and social organizations that would be telling them, hey, this is not a trick, this is not a joke, get this done. Get this done, because is your ticket to staying here. And then, you know what, and I would think that there would have to be some caveat in that, you know, for people that don't do it, does that mean we're going to export them? No, if you're yoked up for whatever reason and you didn't do it, we'll give you the opportunity to do it. We have no interest really in running buses to the ports of entry if you've done nothing wrong. However, if you've done something wrong, then, you know, you're going back to where you came from. And that's going to be the downside to all of this. So, this is a one-time exception. It's never going to happen again, and so get it done. So again, so what Rob said, we tend to be problem solvers, you know. Deporting 11 million people, I mean, come on, that's ridiculous. I mean, think about it. The only people that the Nazis did that, right? They're the only ones that moved those kind of numbers around the world. Nobody else has done that. And so to think that when somebody says no amnesty, out of my cold, dead hand. You know, one of those statements. It's like, okay, bud, I guess we'll just continue this bullshit forever then. Okay, why don't we solve it? It's within our capability. Let's solve it. Let's solve it. I haven't had you on since the USS McCain. I'm curious about your thoughts on all of that. It's pretty astounding when you look at, you know, you have the USS Antietam is a cruiser running aground in Tokyo Bay. You have the USS Lake Champlain running into a 70-foot Korean fishing vessel at noon in fair weather off the coast of Japan, off the coast of Korea, and then you have the McCain, and now to the point where the Navy says we need to go ahead and turn on our transponders so that commercial vessels can see us. Your thoughts on all that you've seen relative to the Navy?
It's a discipline and it's a training issue. I would think that it's more of a discipline issue, but when over the last 8-9 years as the defense budget gets cut, you know, it's not like, okay, we're not going to make any more ships in fill in the blank city. It's, we're going to cut around the fringes, and training is an easy one to cut. So it kind of makes sense that just the training program, whether it went from physical SWO school to now you've got SWO school on your laptop in your stateroom, in a, you know, you do it off the web to save money. And I think that's kind of, you know, it didn't happen overnight, obviously. It's been a decade or maybe more. But, I mean, basic seamanship. You're in a boat in the ocean. Don't run into shit. I mean, that's your first thing to do. How can you not get it done? And I didn't know how big that fishing boat was that they hit. I always wondered, was it a, you know, two guys in a cooler of beer in a duck boat, or was it something freaking that 70 feet's a freaking big boat to go running into at noon?
And again, this is, just think about it. When McCain happens, it's the 4th since February, and it's August. Okay, think about that. The 4th incident. How the McCain happens after the Champlain, after the Antietam, and then you have a casualty producing event is to me, I'm not really sure. I can't imagine.
And it all happened in PAC fleet, you know. It didn't happen in any of the other fleets. You know, 7th Fleet, all of it happens in there. You got to wonder, is this not a Navy problem, or is this just a 7th Fleet problem?
Right. But no, but I'm with you. The more I look, I see it. I agree with you. It is the single first thing that you do as when you're in the Navy is you cast off and you drive that ship, and you're responsible to the other people that live in the ship for driving the ship. If that's your job, that's your job. How you can run into, how you can run it aground, how you can, I mean, ships, when was the last time you heard of a ship running aground in Tokyo Bay? You know, you don't. Like, so all those ships can do it and you can't, or colliding with a 70-foot, you know, fishing vessel, you know, during broad daylight. It doesn't happen. So it'll be interesting. And they're in front of the Senate Armed Service Committee today.
That ought to be fun for them.
Yeah. Well, you know, the good thing is that they're, in my opinion, the Navy's saying the right thing. There's no excuse. You know, and we both know that. You know, if you're sleeping in a bed, you know, and I don't care if you work 14 hours a day, okay, that gives you 10 hours that you're not working. You know, the problem is they tend to go and play video games and then fall asleep doing that. We've seen guys who work and who rate to pass out when they're tired. I don't know that the activity on a United States Navy ship can create what we've seen in combat against the enemy that will kill you. I don't know if you can say that, yeah, they're that worn out. And my gut sense tells me no. Email says this: Hey Mac, I'd be curious, what does Montana Man believe is the most interesting part of the series so far? So Montana Man, most interesting part of the Ken Burns series so far to you?
Well, really, it's I'm on the history portion. You know, the fact they went back to whatever it was, 1880, and then just Ho Chi Minh's political wranglings and.
Hey, let me ask you this: were you drinking when you were watching it?
No.
You weren't having a little bit of bourbon or anything?
Can't do bourbon. I gave that up freaking 20-some years ago.
All right. So, yeah, behavioral issues will make that happen every time. How about when you're seeing that Ho Chi Minh is reading, right, the preamble of the Constitution in his first speech, right? I'm watching that going, how did we fuck this up, man? This guy loves us.
The spot that we were put in, we almost had to choose sides.
I
think if we didn't have to deal with the French side of it, meaning we didn't have to semi-support or not at least not step on their toes, it would have been a way different picture. We basically had to go pile in on their team. In the long run, and then they bail out, and it's like, okay, we're done. Now that you guys, U.S., you've tipped your hand, and basically you're in it, we're out. Good luck. And the only reason we were in it was because of them. Kind of a kick in the nuts.
And then after that, it becomes the whole domino argument. After the Bay of Pigs, you know, Kennedy's weak. Is he going to allow Vietnam to go the way of Laos, Cambodia, China, North Korea, yada, 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 yada. The red wave sweeping the planet.
Right. And then the fact that, okay, we put a stop to it in Korea, you know, gave us the thought, hey, you know, we can hold this thing up, draw the line, and stop that red wave from moving down, just kept us keeping on going down that road. It paints the picture on how, okay, logically I get it. I see how we got here. But then it also kind of paints the picture, and I think that'll come more in the second episode, is why the country was so divided about it. That piece I think will be interesting, and I don't know how they hit on that, but... you know, it's hard to believe that the Vietnam fighting force coming back from a war, the only one ever to date that, you know, the American populace didn't recognize their efforts and their sacrifice. It's the only one ever, as far as I know. That'll be interesting to see.
Korean War guys have always had a little bit of a chip on their shoulder about that. That they were kind of, what, the forgotten war, right? That they just kind of came home and went back to work because they didn't win. And you know, one of the things I found interesting is, and I asked Nielsen about it because somebody sent me an email saying that Vietnam veterans got shit on by World War II veterans. You guys can go over there and handle that shit? What's wrong with you? You know? Like, yeah, it ain't like,
yeah,
right, it ain't like the 10th Panzer Division, you know, attacking through the hedgerow country of Normandy, okay? It ain't that way, bro. If you want to go with me, I'll be happy to take you back, and we'll see how your nasty ass does over there. But yeah, I was like, what? I was like, what? I'm like, yeah, they shit all over us. Like, Vietnam veterans, man, God bless those guys. No, I mean, they have every reason to be crazy as fuck, honestly. And there's a lot.
They only have a couple of interviews in there. You know, in that first episode with U.S. guys.
Right.
So it'll be interesting as it goes down. the later episodes of
what
those guys have.
What'd you think of the Vietnamese dude with blonde hair?
Old guy, Viet Cong dude.
I thought he was NBA. I thought he was NBA, but
I think he was
he talks about nobody wins in a war, everybody loses.
Yeah, and only people that have fought in a war will know that. That was kind of a profound statement there. It's kind of like, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Unless you've done it.
I was telling Lynch, like, I think I've seen that guy sing in Kenville, right? And he's one of those dudes that can sing the Beatles and Elvis and the Rolling Stones, but can't speak a word of English. But you
like sing it like you wouldn't know it's not a record.
Exactly. And then they get done and you're like, hey, that was awesome. And they look at you and they put their palms up. They're like, no speaking English.
They don't know shit.
Yeah, like no habla. And did he just say no habla? I think he did, man. But he looks like one of those guys, and then he drops that profound shit on you. I was like, whoa, who is this dude with the blonde hair, man? He's like, so I kind of nicknamed him Elvis. I was like, Elvis is pretty cool. And then Lynch told me he's actually a writer, became a writer after the war, and writes. So he is.
Did Lynch watch it?
Yeah, he's been watching it.
Oh, he must have, yeah.
And reading the book. He read the book, and he didn't think that. That the same standard was held to both the NVA Viet Cong side that was held to as the Americans were held to. The Americans, he felt, in the book are treated differently. I said, there's nothing that I've seen so far in two episodes that gives me any indication that there's any bias against Americans in it. He said, it might be the book. He said, but I'm kind of spring-loaded.
Yeah, it might be.
And you know, those guys are filled with lots of anxiety, so it's kind of interesting to hear them talk about it. My guy from Quezon, Ken Rogers, he's traveling right now, but he got me a guy. He said, hey, man, I've got a guy who was at Quezon that's watching it that a bunch of dudes aren't watching it because they're afraid. It's really interesting window into Vietnam veterans and whatnot. They don't want to go there. Because they just think they're going to get screwed again. So, interesting.
Yeah, my neighbor in Idaho, Vietnam guy, paraplegic, just wrote that book, The Reunion. I had heard about it first from him, and he sent me a text and said, hey, PBS special, Vietnam, going to watch it, think I'll learn a lot. And I was kind of, and he does never talk about Vietnam, really. On occasion, he will, and I consider myself probably one of his closer friends, but still doesn't really speak of it. If it's him and I alone and we're having a beer or something like that, you know, something, just a little comment or statement will come out, but it won't be a, you know, in-depth discussion about the battle or anything like that. But he's watching.
Yeah, I thought about that the day, I guess it would have been Sunday. I was watching Pete Carroll coach against the 49ers, and Montana Men's a big fan of Pete Carroll.
Yeah, that's right. He ought to be in jail, is how I feel about him.
Pete Carroll, man. He like walks through burning buildings, and he's the last guy out before it crumbles. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So
he lights it on fire and hangs out there until it's just about to fall down, and then whoop, out he goes.
Then and walks out, and then he's chomping on his gum, looking at the big ball of fire. And somebody says, "What happened?" He says, "I don't know. Hey, I'm out of here. I gotta go." Yeah. And then he leaves. That's Pete Carroll. Yeah, so
Rudy's friggin' spinning right now.
Rudy loves him, man. It's ridiculous. He doesn't really love Pete Carroll.
I thought he was smarter than that.
No, he not. He likes to give you that. Why do you think you want to know, figure it out. He's called Rudy because it took him 7 attempts to get into flight school. How smart is that guy? Okay, not very. He's persistent. He's not smart. That's Rudy. That's why he's called Rudy. Yeah, the little engine that could, more persistent than smart. But I was watching it, and then for some reason I didn't really consider it, but I was thinking about Marlanus's involvement in it. And Vietnam guys are peculiar, right? Because of the way they got treated. And Marlanus would have to have had some kind of guarantee from Burns that this is how we're going to portray this thing, or else he would have never done it.
Yeah.
And I thought about the anxiety that Bob Nielsen told me. He went back and forth 25 times on Sunday whether he would watch it or not. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, my wife said she wasn't watching it. But he said, I watched it. I was fascinated. He said, shit, I wish I knew all that stuff before I went there.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I said, I think most of us would say the same about Afghanistan and Iraq, although we probably knew a little bit more, but there's probably a whole lot more we could have learned. And we'll wait till Ken Burns does the documentary before we figure it out.
When we went to Somalia, you know, we were brand new second lieutenants and just got to 1-7 and lived with two other lieutenants, came straight from Iowa, so you got a place and, you know, hey, we're going to Somalia. Everybody kind of looks at each other, where the freaking hell is that? I mean, we were breaking out, you know, the globe, trying to freaking figure out where something was.
And still couldn't find it. You know what? I figured out, when did you went to IOC the summer of 91, 92?
Two, I think.
I left in...
Yeah, I was commissioned in 91. December of 91, so it had to be summer of 92, yeah.
I left IOC at the start of June in 92 that year. That's how I missed you. And then I show up to the fleet. I was Alpha Company. Actually, I was the adjutant at 3rd LAR, and Neller was a battalion commander, and you were a second lieutenant in 1-7. I probably yoked your shit up. Hey, nasty one, come here. Why are you talking during the national anthem here at the theater? Yeah, I probably snatched you up for doing something stupid. Hey, you, come here. Lieutenant, get your ass over here. What are you doing? Sir. Yeah, all right.
You know Chris Nicewater?
I raised that kid.
Yeah. He was attached to us in Somalia.
Yeah.
No. And hell, I ran back into him at JSOC at Bragg.
Yeah, Nicewater was a good dude, but it was fun because I had taught all my lieutenants. Right? So I walk in and they're like, oh my God. I'm like, that's right. It's all over, okay? I know you shitbags.
Learning curve here.
Exactly. No, it was a good time. It was a good time. All right, anything else going on the ranch today? How cold is it up in Montana today? I didn't do the weather because of the Trump speech.
39 Woo! Right now. Yeah, windy and rainy, and I think it's snowing up high on top of the ranch. I'm distributing chuckers and pheasant.
Big hunt this weekend?
About the ranch. They were supposed to be. Everybody canceled, so it might just be me archery hunting for elk and putting a little bit of pheasant on the table.
Wow. Sounds like
not bad.
Sounds like a good deal.
Yeah, no, it was going to be a pretty crappy 2 weeks starting on Saturday.
Come on, man. That's why you buy all that pussy gear at Cabela's. To get a chance to use it. What are we going to do? Like, look, first of all, they're going to do what? They're going to ride out there in a truck with all their snowmobile gear on that they bought. They could say it all worked. Now we're going to do, where are we going to go? They were birding, right? They were going bird hunting, right?
There was a mix. I was taking one guy elk hunting, and then there was guys bird hunting. And then the following week was going to be kind of a reunion deal. Which was going to be more babysitting and make sure nobody broke each other or any of our craft. So that all went away, and it's turned into kind of the open couple of weeks. Perfect. I mean, the elk are just starting to really get going and bugling. It's some of the best, it's the best time of year. But I mean, shit, it was like winter showed up. It was summer in 90, and the next thing you know, 2 days later, there's freaking snow. I mean, I've been up here for a while, and that even caught me off guard. I was like, shit, rummaging through the closet. Where did I leave all my snow gear at?
I will tell you, man, I do weather all over the planet, and the craziest weather on the planet is in the upper plains. Nobody has fluctuating weather conditions like they do. It's absolutely amazing. You can do it from, you start in Quantico, you go through Texas, out to California, you go to Hawaii, you go to Okinawa, you go to Afghanistan, you go to Syria. Nobody has temperature fluctuations and condition fluctuations like Montana, North Dakota, Wyoming. It's pretty crazy up there, but anyway. All right, well, first of all, thanks for calling in and pitching in for pinch hitting for Mike Musselman.
You bet, man.
Hold on, I have one more email here. Mac, I heard you talk about a female at the infantry officer course. I'd be curious about Montana Man's opinion. Okay, Montana Man, a girl get through IOC, you have an opinion about that?
You know, I say we set the standard and hold the standard, and it doesn't matter who shows up to test it. That's the way it's done. You know, without, remember the girl that made it through Ranger School and the President of the United States shows up? Tell me there was no pressure on the cadre there to get one of them through. As long as none of that happens, and it's a true standard, and everybody's treated the same, have at it. You know, here's the game. You show up to play. If you make it through all four quarters, just like everybody else, then you're in. I mean, it does. The whole boy-girl thing is a pain in the ass, but I guess that's a simple way to put it. It just creates problems. I don't know if you remember, the first Monday came out at one point and said, okay, you've got to be an E5 or older to be married, which, hell, that would solve 50% of the platoon commander's problem in the fleet, you know, is just not having to deal with, you know, knucklehead 20-year-olds hooking up with the stripper in Oceanside and dealing with that. And I'd rather not see that, but you can't say to another human that you're fully qualified, you have met this standard, but no, you can't come in. I just don't think that's right. But the standard can't change, and there can't be outside pressure from the political realm that says, hey, we need to have a woman infantry officer, which I don't know if that's feasible at all. To say that pressure is not going to be there.
Right. And I'll just, again, if there is pressure, all you do is you make her life more difficult because she's not going to be viewed as legitimate. Anybody who goes through and the standards unchanged, they're legit. Whether you like it or not, shut up and call her, man. She earned it. And now to you who've earned it, go do your thing.
Yeah. What's her name, that MMA fighter, Rousey, or whatever? Well, hell, pick one of them.
Yeah, pick one of them.
You know, they show up to IOC, man.
Told me getting their ass kicked.
Step. Yeah. And it would be how they show up in the fleet as a platoon commander and start wearing freaking guys out at PT the first day, you know, dropping 80% of a platoon behind them, freaking all of a sudden the story might change.
Yeah, but that's what she's got to be capable of doing, because that's what you got to do, right? Everybody's got to, you got to,
yep.
There's no way to con anybody. You got to be up to the task. You got to lead the run, not go on the run. You got to lead them up the mountain,
yeah,
not just get up the mountain. And so there's a difference, and that's why you got to be up for it. And so, no, I,
Yeah, and any good platoon commander or company commander is going to take their unit on a PT session early on in their tenure and just see who's who.
Exactly.
You know, just max everybody out. You know, that's not a great physical training program, but it is as far as leadership goes. One, you establish yourself, and two, you figure out, you know, who's who in the zoo as far as your unit. And if you can't do that, you've lost a big chunk of what it's going to take to be successful.
Yeah. And so, so the question is she legitimate? If she gets to that, trust us, she's legit. That's not easy. And so, again, and I think that's always been the position of 99% of the guys that have come on this program and talked about it, and that is, don't change the standard. She can get through that. She's welcome. Come on in, man. The water's warm. Get after it. But it's not an easy job, and you've got to physically be up to it. And if you are, then have at it. So anyway, all right, man. Have a good day up there in beautiful Montana.
Yeah, my wife's out your direction this week, so I'm kind of on my own.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of bacheloring it out the ranch, which isn't all bad. Other than I got to keep track of the dang dogs and make my own supper.
There's a downside to everything. Although Fat Jack, he's probably good company, yeah?
Well, he almost got freaking killed. Well, yesterday and today, he had the barn cat for some reason hold up underneath the pickup, and when that happens, he tends to try and tear out anything in his way, which usually includes some kind of wiring. So I've replaced wiring on both my horse trailers as you chase squirrels underneath them, and one pickup truck. I had to replace all the wiring in. So that's how he got his butt whipped this morning. And everything's running fine right now, I think, so there might not be damage done.
So it might have been a false pretense for an ass whooping?
Yeah, but he still got it because he needs it every once in a while. And since Mom's not around to protect him, it's really the only time I get the opportunity without getting my own ass whipping.
There you go. The Red Sox,
Mama's boy.
For the second time in about 4 days, the Red Sox dodged another bullet in extra innings.
Yep.
Killing me.
Hey.
Killing me.
Whatever it takes. How much left in the season? Still 3 games up.
2 weeks.
How much left in the season?
2 weeks.
Yep. And then, so when is, if you play it all out, when is the Yankees Red Sox, after the Yankees go beat whoever they're going to beat in the friggin' wild card game, when do they play the Red Sox?
I don't know.
So we need to get tickets for that.
Yeah,
get Bronzy, put him on a plane.
I don't know.
Get Musselman, put him on a plane.
I don't know that Bronzy could deal with you guys. He's a little bit he's a little bit fanatical about the Yankees.
Yeah, no, it might end up in a fist fight, but I need to hear that Bronzy laugh again. I do miss that.
I don't know that I have it recorded anywhere. I should have it recorded.
Oh God, you need to get him to send it in.
Yeah.
I heard that, I had never met him, and literally, you know, all the muscles in my shoulders and neck all tensed up with that. It's just alarming.
Yeah, it's like, I asked him, I said, how do you learn to laugh like that? Like, is that like just a cry for help as a kid? You want attention? If I was your older brother, I'd have beat your ass. The first time I heard that, like that, I'd have beat that out of you, like. Nobody laughs like that. Nobody on the planet laughs like Chris. It's just, and you're like, you hear it, and the Marines love it. We would be trying to kill somebody, and Bronzy would be like a couple rooms away, and he'd laugh, and everybody would look and go, Major Bronzy, man, he's awesome. And because Marines love him because somebody will have read the book, Joker 1, and in the book, Chris Bronzy, our friend, he's an American war hero, man. He's a badass, Silver Star recipient, And in Ramadi, back when we didn't, you know, drop aviation ordinance or do any of that stuff, it was just like get it on every day. And he went out and got it on with his guys every day. And he's a, but he's got this laugh. But the Marines read about him. So Bronzy, he's a good, and he's a good dude. So, yeah, but I don't know how much he would take to like the whole Yankee Red Sox thing, sitting next to each other talking shit. I don't know. He might lose his mind.
Yeah, especially if he was on the losing end of it.
Well, we know that's not going to happen. But the Yankees have had their way all season with the Red Sox. You know that.
Yeah, they haven't had their way, but they're definitely on top. It's a that series will be a little nerve-wracking going into it.
Yeah. All right. Be careful up there. Tell Fat Jack we said, hey, keep his head down. He got no top cover.
None.
All right, there you have it. Montana man on Tuesday, pinch hitting for the Gunner. We're going to take a break, come back, wrap things up. I'll go over the top headlines of the day for you. I didn't have a chance to do that because the president spoke. You'll hear this program repeat immediately. But you won't hear the president's speech. I'm not going to play that again for you. So you'll hear our critique of his speech. And let me just tell you, if you missed his speech, you didn't miss anything. He didn't say anything in his speech other than he kind of ridiculed the Korean dictator. He called him Rocket Man in the speech. It was probably the high point of the speech. But everything else was all the things that he said about Iran. All the things he said about Venezuela. So kind of all rolled into one. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you, the Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum, it's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug, scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. BattleMug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoffoundation.org/Marines. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Top headlines on the early bird as we head out the door. Number one. Mattis: use of tactical nuclear weapons discussed with South Korea. Number two, here's what fights are left for the annual defense authorization bill. Number three, U.S. breaks ground for new permanent base in Israel. That got a little bit of attention. Dozens of U.S. soldiers operating under the American flag charged with the mission of defending against rocket and missile attacks. Four, Trump administration wants to increase CIA drone strikes. Five, U.S. jets drop live bombs in a new massive show of force aimed at North Korea. New 7th Fleet boss fires a rear admiral and a captain. So the Desron commander, he was fired. And I think the admiral that was fired, he was in charge of the surface Navy. Something that we're going to talk to the gunner about under the Marine heading. Marines evaluating new compact handgun. Next story, the Commandant is pushing the Corps to be ready for a violent fight. That in the defense news. And then the Corps' new ammo resupply robot will lighten the payload for Marines. Yeah. The Marine Corps is developing an autonomous robot to help speed up MV-22 Osprey ammunition resupply missions, according to officials at Marine Corps Systems Command. Yeah. Crazy. Anyway, robots, man. No more motor transport drivers. All robots. My thanks to Tim Lynch for coming on. You know, the whole Vietnam thing brings back up the whole issue of how veterans dealt with Vietnam and how Vietnam veterans still deal with it. And a lot of them, great anxiety relative to the whole issue. How they'll be portrayed, should we get our hopes up, only to be, to have them dashed again. So So we'll continue to cover that story and bring on different Vietnam veterans and just get their take on not only the series, but the anxiety that has gone with it and their lives. So I think it's really fascinating to look at veterans. And I don't think how you can help see yourself in them as we go forward. Anyway, this program repeats itself momentarily, so don't touch that dial. Have a great afternoon. On a Tuesday, All Marine Radio, out.